Blog Talk Radio.
Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. Want to welcome you in the studio on tonight. Thank you for taking the time to join us. I am excited about the word that God has to go forth on tonight. I tell you, it has been, the last few weeks have been bittersweet. They have been amazing. Some amazing things have taken place If you tuned in last week, you would have got a gist of some of the things that have been going on in Coach D's life, some many blessings, amen. And with those blessings come labor. And I talked about that last week. I talked about labor and delivery. And you know, we get the joy once that thing is birthed. But getting to the point of birthing it is just the labor. And if you know about labor, once it's all said and done, you are wore out. You are wore out. And I think I am in the wore out phase. And the word that came to me on today that I believe that God would have me to share with you all is there is power in the praise. I'm going to repeat that. There is power in the praise. Psalms 51, 1 and 10, and we're going to get into the message on tonight. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitudes of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was sharpened in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest the truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sin and blot out all my iniquities. Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That always ministered to me. David was amazing. David was very unique. And I don't know how many of you sometimes feel like David. Oftentimes I feel like David. And David had issues. David dealt with haughtiness. David thought he could have whatever he wanted. And David oftentimes sinned against God. But God said that David was a man after his own heart. David had the ability, he had the desire and the willingness to repent. He had the desire to come before God and say, I blew it. I blew it. I did this. I did that. I did this. And I blew it. David also had a heart of praise. David was a worshiper. He was a worshiper. He would find time to just sing before the Lord and dance before the Lord. And he found favor with the Lord because he had the gift to do that. He had the ability to dance before the Lord. And I, like David, have found that praise will push you through. Praise will push you through into the very presence of God. If you are going through something in life, and I don't care what that something is, if you would just but begin to praise God, you will find that what you are going through is not as big as it seems. You will begin to find out that what you are going through, when you get into a spirit of praise, you will find answers, problems that you feel like are overtaking you. You will find answers to those situations that have you bogged down. It's the spirit of praise that changes things. It's the spirit of praise that changes things. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. I'm going to be sharing with you on tonight why praise is important, why there's power in praise, why and how praise changes situations. And I think it's going to be important on tonight. If you are here tonight, I'm trusting that God has you here for a reason. He has you to be listening in for a reason, because he wants you to know on tonight that you could change your circumstances by your level of praise. I often have heard people say, why they have to do all that? It doesn't take all of that. But I will have you to know tonight that it takes all of that and then some. It's important to praise God. Matter of fact, it's in the Bible, in the Old Testament, it speaks about that you are supposed to praise God. And it's not, it's an outer praise. It's a praise with your words, with your mouth, through song, through worship. It's a praise with your hands, through clapping, your feet, through dancing. The Bible speaks of that. And so it is necessary, because if it wasn't necessary, God would not have mentioned it in his word. He wouldn't have told us how to praise him. He wouldn't have told us what we're, and so tonight we're going to see again why that's important. So I'm going to pull 8 points on tonight about praise. Again, it's so important to praise God. I've been moving and relocating and going through one thing and another, and things have become very stressful. I'm going to tell you the number one thing that the enemy uses against the people of God. And when I say people of God, we're all children of God. If you believe in God and you believe in Jesus Christ as his son, then you are a people of God. And the one thing that the enemy uses against us is distraction. He will get us distracted and caught up in life that we will forget to praise God. We'll get so caught up and get so busy with busy work, you know, that we won't make time for God. We won't set aside time for prayer and praise and worship in his word. And we'll find, oh, my gosh, I just don't have time. I almost got caught up in that cycle. I knew better, but I got caught up in it because of everything that was going on and the move and the transferring and making sure this is done and making sure that is done and getting caught up and things not working according to plan and getting upset about things not working according to plan and other things happening around me with family and friends and different things, and you get distracted. And in my distraction, I wasn't praising God. In my distraction, my prayers were stagnant. They were scattered. Prayer here, prayer there. In my distraction, I wasn't worshiping. In my distraction, I couldn't find time to sit down and get into the word. And as a result of that, you begin to find yourself being disconnected from God. Do you know that not praising him is a sin? And when you're in sin, sin is separation from God. Let's keep it simple. You know, people want to make sin a big thing. Sin will separate you from God. When you And so even when you get distracted, yeah, you may not be doing what they call obvious sin, but you are in separation from God when you get distracted, because you become disconnected, because your focus point is on everything else. And if I wouldn't have snapped back to a conscious reality, everything that I got busy doing was stuff that God blessed me with in the first place. He blessed me with this beautiful home. He blessed me with abundance. He blessed me with more than enough. He blessed me with my health and my sound mind. He blessed me with this. And yet I allowed those very blessings to become my God because I got caught up in them. And I forgot about the person who gave me those things in the first place, which was God. And I had to repent. And I had to go before the throne of grace. And I was so sorrowful. I was so emotional because I thought, how could I have just taken you for granted? Not intentionally, but the distraction. And I was taking God for granted. I forgot to stop and just say thank you. You know, the things that I would normally do, waking up in the morning and just giving God the glory because he woke me up. You know, thanking him for keeping me throughout the day. So many people don't make it to another day. Some people don't wake up at all, but there's people who wake up and still don't make it to the end of the day. There's so many things out there that could come against us that could cause destruction in our lives, and yet here I am, glory to God. here you are, glory to God. And we forget to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for all the blessings. Thank you for sending people in our lives that support us, that believe in us, that inspire and encourage us to be the best us, to live our best lives. And I'm hearing that. You know, we get into trendy sayings, and you're hearing everybody say, she's living her best life, or he's living his best life. But guess what? I would not be living my best life if it was not for God, if it wasn't for him and his mercy and his grace and his faithfulness. And so I have a reason to praise him. I have a reason to praise him. Number one, why praise him? For what? The first point I want to bring up is praise gets our focus off ourselves and back on God. It takes us away from us and all that we're consumed with, whether it's bad, good, indifferent. Praise takes situations, our circumstances, and it puts our attention back on God. Psalms 150 tells us, praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. And then Psalms 35 says, and my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and of your praise all day long. So we want to praise him. Why? Because we want to take our attention off of the cares of this world, finances, health, whatever those things are. We want to take our attention off of those things and put our attention on God. Why? Because guess what? God could change these circumstances, and oftentimes we can't without him. So we want to put our attention on the one entity, the one power that could change those circumstances, that could help us get through, that could give us favor to prosper in any situation. Number two, praise brings us to a place of humility. It's something about through a day-to-day and being frustrated and fussing and nagging and murmuring and complaining about life and everything. Because when you're looking at a bunch of problems, it's easy to get sucked in. It's easy to complain about what's going on. It's so easy to get caught up. Amen? And when we get into a spirit of praise, it's something about praise that breaks. I don't know about you, but praise will break me down. It breaks me down. It breaks down the barriers. It breaks down the constraints. It breaks down the walls. It breaks down all those things that I have to be tough. I have to be hard, because life has a way of hardening us. You know, life has a way of pushing us into survival mode. Life has a way of, we have to constantly be on defense. And so when we get into the spirit of praise, it breaks all of that down. We become nothing before him. We become humble before him. And we realize at that point that we need him, that we need God in our life, and we're nothing without him. Amen? Three, praise makes the enemy flee. The enemy cannot stay in the midst of God's presence. The enemy cannot stay in the midst of God's presence. Wherever God's presence is, the enemy cannot stay in the midst. So when you get into a spirit of praise, you are actually inviting the very presence of God to be in the center of that place. You're inviting him in when you get into a spirit of praise, because praise is remembering God's goodness. Because when you begin to praise, you think about all the things to be thankful for. You think about what God brought you through before. And then you begin to understand, God, I remember when you delivered me from cancer. God, I remember when you delivered me from that bad situation. God, I remember when you delivered me from death. And you start thinking about all these things in your life and reflecting back of what God delivered you from. And when you start that, the more you think about how his hands were really upon you, you begin to praise even more because you become more grateful and you become more thankful about all that he's done for you. And when you, and so his presence is there, and the enemy cannot sit in the presence of God. Number four, I hope you all are writing these down. It's just great reminders. When you're going through a hard time in life, and I'm telling you, there are some times you go through it you don't want to praise. There are some times you go through where your heart is so heavy that your hands feel heavy that you can't raise them to worship. There are some times when you're going through life circumstances and situations that is like a sock in the stomach. It takes your very breath away. And you just can't find yourself to come to a praise. But if you could, but if you can, go beyond all that and find a praise. Find a praise. That praise will bring your breath back. It will bring your breath back. Number four. Praise leaves no room for complaining and negativity. I can't think of a time in my life, and I'm a worshiper. I like to worship. I like getting into the presence of God. That's where my joy is. That's where my peace is getting in his presence. So the number one, again, like I said, that the enemy uses for Coach D is I could get her distracted. If I could get her busy, then she won't be able to get into a place of worship and a place of praise. But I need that. I need that like I need to breathe. It's important for me to have a place of worship, a place of praise, because if I don't, I could get so consumed with this world. I could get so consumed with this world and everything that's involved in this world. And so I have to have a place of praise and worship. I've never had a time when I'm in praise and worship that I'm complaining or I'm negative. It just don't go. Light and darkness don't go together. And so when I'm in a place of light, which is praise and worship, I can't be complaining. I can't be negative. Why? Because your mind has to be on a specific situation. Your mind has to be on a specific thing for you to be to complain about. You have to have something that you're complaining about, or you have to have something that you're being negative about. But if your mind is only on God because you're in a place of worship or a place of praise, then you have nothing to complain and be negative about. You know, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Psalms 103, 2 through 4. You hear that? Bless the Lord. He said, with all of you, with your whole soul, don't forget the benefits of him. He forgives all of our crap, all of our ugliness, all of everything that our iniquities. He forgives those things. He heals us from our disease. I don't know about any of you, but I've been healed from some diseases. I could have been dead a long time ago. Oh, but by God's grace and his mercy and the plans and the purpose that he has for my life, he healed me. He redeemed my life because I once belonged to him, and then I was taken out of place, and then I was put back in place. That's redemption. You've been redeemed. When you decided that you're going to take this walk with Christ, you're redeemed. You're put back in place. He's delivered you from the darkness. So you're redeemed. So that's something to be thankful for. Number five, praise makes room for God's blessings over our lives. Just like you, most of us are parents, and either we have little ones or we have little ones that are now adults, but no parent. You know, it's hard for you to want to bless not just kids, but I'm saying kids because God is our father. And so no parent, it's hard for us as parents to bless our ungrateful kids. We still bless them because we love them. But we do. It's hard for us to do those extra special things if they are constantly negative or constantly complaining or just so ungrateful. It just, how does it make you feel when your child is ungrateful and you feel like you done just turn flip, you done stood on your head, as Cal Worthington would say. That's a California joke there. You done stood on your head to do all you could do, and they just ungrateful. Well, God is saying, what? I mean, when we praise him, when we come into his presence, when we're thankful and grateful for all that he's done for us, it opens up the windows of heaven on our behalf. We find favor. That's what David did. No matter how jacked up David was, David had some character flaws. Amen? He had some character flaws. I mean, he slept with a man's wife and then had the man killed to cover up because he got the wife pregnant. So David definitely had some character flaws. But guess what? The windows of heaven was opening up for David. David had some hardship, definitely. You know, he had some issues, definitely, because he had sowed some seeds. And whatever seeds you sow, they will grow. Whatever seeds you sow, they will grow. So David had some issues. If you know the story of David and David's children and David's son raped his sister, you know, David's daughter was raped by her brother, David's son. I mean, David has some stuff going on in his life. Do you got some stuff going on in your life? Have you been through some stuff? And you think because you've been through these things that God can't bless you, that God can't favor you, that God cannot cause abundance in you, that he can't use you to minister or speak to somebody? Yes, he can. He's just looking for some people that want to say yes. He's looking for some people that's ready to be thankful, be grateful, to praise him, to worship him. Because if you can't praise him here on earth, you're not ready to go to heaven. Because they say in the word of God that when we go to heaven, we're going to be worshiping. That's all we're going to do is be worshiping God. It's just going to be one praise and worship, praise and worship. So if that's all that's going on in heaven, and you can't do it down here on earth, if you can't do it down here on earth for 10 minutes a day or 30 minutes on Sunday at church doing worship service, I see, you know, I seen a conversation going on where people saying, well, I got mad at the first lady because she was fussing at us because she told us that we must don't love God because we're not worshiping him. We just sitting here. And, you know, the word of God says we're supposed to praise and worship him. So if you at church doing worship service and you just sitting there, guess what? And you say, well, I worship in my own way. No, the Bible's specific about how you should be worshiping God. You're supposed to be worshiping him in your words, verbally, through song, singing, through clapping. Again, it's specific. So if you're sitting up there doing praise and worship and you sitting down watching everybody else talking about it don't take all of that, guess what? You're not worshiping and praising God. Now, somebody might get mad at Coach D and say, I can't believe she said that. I'm saying it. And I could use scripture to back up what I'm saying. This is just not a matter of opinion. This is the word of God, amen? And so you need to, if you're listening tonight and that's you, whoever you may be, wherever you're at in the world, this show was for you tonight. It was for you tonight. And not to condemn you, but to correct you. To correct you so that you could get on the right track. And you could start seeing some things change and manifest in your life because you're now taking on the attitude of praise. Amen. So we dealt with the number five. Praise makes room for God, for God's blessings in our lives. He wants to bless us. He wants to bless us. And when we begin to praise him, when we begin to come humbly before his throne of grace and begin to just, he blesses us. He opens up the windows of heaven and he pours out his blessings. He says so much that we would not be able to contain it. If we hearken diligently and obey. Amen. And I'm going to get into that as well. Number six, praise invites his presence. I spoke of this earlier, but he inhabits the praises of his people. He inhabits them. He loves praise. It brings him. If you want to get to the heart of God, get into a spirit of praise and worship. That tugs at the heart of God. You know what that tug at the heart. Some of us got kids, and there's certain things they could do, and it tugs at our heart. I mean, when they do those kind of things, we're ready to go out and just do anything for them. We're ready to go out and mortgage something to make sure that we get them what they need or what they want because they've done that one thing or those few things that just tug at our heart. And so God is the same way. Praise invites his presence. He will enter in his presence when you come into a true spirit of praise. Because a true spirit of praise cannot be cohabitat with sin, with discord. A true attitude of praise is pure, and it invites the very presence of God. And when you are going into, and if you do fellowship and you have a church home, when you go into, I'll tell you, if you show me a church that has a spirit of worship and praise, and they are obedient to the Holy Spirit in that area, I will show you a blessed people. I will show you people who are prospering. And I'm not talking about riches as far as financial. I'm talking about rich in spirit. I will show you, if you show me that, I will show you a church that is moving. The presence of God is moving and it's changing things. It's changing people. It's changing situations. It's healing people. There's a spirit of deliverance in the atmosphere of praise. There's a spirit of healing in the atmosphere of praise. And so you want to make sure wherever you're fellowshipping, you want to make sure that there's a spirit of praise and worship in that place because they're inviting the very presence of God to come in. And when God's presence is there, when that word go forth, when the man or woman of God get up and begin to speak the word of God, that word will plant itself. It will root itself in your heart, and it will begin to manifest in your heart. And you will see stuff happen because the praise and worship is like the plowing of hard ground. Most of us come into, and I'm not saying you have to be at church to be in praise and worship. I worship at home. I praise at home. I cut on my music, and I can just walk around my house worshiping and praising God. But what you do when you do that, what it does is the praise and worship is like a plow. And if you know anything about plowing is done to tear up or dig up hard dirt and get it prepared for planting seeds. And I'm not a farmer. I'm not an expert in it. But I do know that, that when you start plowing the ground, whether you're using a hoe or you got some heavy equipment and you start lifting that dirt and tossing it and turning it, it's hard. So what you're doing is softening that dirt, amen. And as you soften that dirt, it's getting it prepared. So when you come in to pour the seeds are getting deep in, and they could take root, and they could begin to grow. And you want them to take a good root because if that ground is hard and you pour the seeds on it, what's going to happen? The seed's not going to take root. Now some stuff may grow, but because it doesn't have any root, it's not deep down in there. It may begin to grow, but as soon as a wind or something come by, that stuff is going to blow away because it's not rooted. It's not grounded and rooted. So you want to make sure that you plow that dirt, get it soft, get it tender and ready for the seeds, hallelujah. So when you go into a church and there's a good praise and worship team, you can always already go in with your praise in. But when there's a good praise and worship going on, let me not say a team because you could bring the praise and worship, but when the minister, the leader, is obedient to the spirit of God as it pertains to praise and worship, what that's doing is it's plowing at your heart. And what it's doing is it's lifting up all the garbage that you went through from the week before, the heaviness, worried about if the light's going to get cut off, worried about, relatives, sick relatives, or worried about your kids, or worried about your finances, then it be, that praise and worship gets you prepared. It takes and it digs all that stuff up. It softens you up. And then when the word goes forth, that word gets rooted in you. And that's how you could get through another week. Because when things get rough, and they will get rough, when the world begins to close in on you, and it will close in on you, you have that word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the word also tells us we can't just be hearers of the word, but we must be doers of the word. And just because you listen don't mean you really hear. Just because you listen don't mean you really hear. Are you really hearing what the word is saying to you? Are you really hearing what thus said the Lord? And that's what's going to be important. Praise invites his presence. Number seven, our spirits are refreshed and renewed in his presence. Without doubt, if you've ever been heavy-hearted and you go into a spirit of praise, when you come out of there, you're refreshed. You're renewed. Whatever that thing was that was heavy on you before you went in, when you come out, it don't necessarily go away. But your heart is not the same towards it. Your heart is not the same towards it. You get an inner strength. You get a peace, and you get a joy. You know, it says peace that passes all understanding. You get a joy. Your joy, his joy, is full. So you could now deal with those situations better because you got a new perspective on it. He changes your heart about it, changes your mind about it. So now it's not seem as detrimental as it did before you went into that place of praise. It says in the word of God, in his presence there is fullness of joy, Psalm 16:11. In his presence there is fullness of joy. And so if you want to get your joy back, then you got to get into his presence. And praise gets you into his presence. Worship gets you into his presence. Amen. Number eight, it paves the way for God's power to be displayed. Miracles happen. I'm going to talk, and you guys often hear me speak about the burning bush. You guys have probably heard me speak about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That was the three Hebrew boys. And the three Hebrew boys was tossed into the fiery furnace. And many of you know the story. I may not have to tell you, but for those of you that don't, they got tossed into a fiery furnace. They were getting tossed to get killed because they didn't want to bow down to Baal. They were worse. They were true believers of God. And they weren't gonna give in to laws and rules that weren't of God. So they got tossed into the furnace. They were supposed to be dead. But the very presence of God was with them in the midst of the furnace. So they were in the fire, but they didn't get burned. This is when you talk about miracles, when the power of praise, the power of God's presence with you. You could go through some fire, the burning bush. Why it wasn't consumed? Because the very presence of God was within that bush. It couldn't be taken by the natural elements of the law, of the land. Woo! It couldn't be consumed. So if the burning bush wasn't consumed, the three Hebrew boys weren't consumed, Daniel wasn't consumed in the lion's den because of the presence of God. The presence of God will supersede what's natural or what's the law. Because we know by law, fire burns. Ain't no way of getting around that, period. Not in the natural, but we serve a supernatural God. And he defies the law. And so when you get into his presence, and it paves the way for God's powers to be displayed, we begin to see miracles. What you mean, Coach D? People's lives are affected and changed. God shakes some things up. if you remember, Paul and Silas sat in prison, and they were shackled and chained, and no, Lord knows how they was treated, and they kept right on praising God. And God sent the earthquake that shook the cells and broke the chains, and the jailer and his family came to know Christ because of that. So that was a miracle. God's supernatural power came in and did something that was not, and changed a natural situation through his supernatural powers. He released them out of jail. And the jailers seen what happened. They witnessed it. And when you witness the movement of God, I don't care who you are, hallelujah, when you witness the movement of God, how can you not want to know who is this God that Paul and Silas serve? Who is this God that Coach D serves? Who is this God that's healing people, taking away cancer? Who is this God that's delivering people from drug addiction, prostitution, homosexuality? Who is this God? There's no way that the world around us can see these kind of miracles and these kind of things. I'm not saying that people will, you're going to get people that will still be stuck in there and they stop and won't move. But I'm thinking, for me, there's no way I can see these kind of miracles taking place. No, there's no way I can. If I see somebody that have abundance and they're joyful all the time, I want to know why. If I don't already know, if I don't know about Christ, if I didn't know about God, why is this person so happy? Or why is this, every time I turn around, this person is being blessed? Yeah, that brought a song to mind. There's a song that says, we're blessed in the city, we're blessed in the fields, we're you know, just blessed. Every direction, blessed. And again, I want to make sure that you understand when I speak about and when I say blessed, I'm not just talking about materialistic things. This stuff, nothing that I have, it could go with me when I leave here. Nothing. I'm not consumed. I don't breathe material stuff. I really don't. Whether I have a house up on the hill, do I like nice things? Absolutely. Do I want to be in a nice neighborhood? Absolutely. But that don't make me. Coach B is not, my life is not dictated or governed by what I have, and I have, because I've been blessed, an abundant life, praise God. But it's because I don't worship the stuff. I worship the Creator. I'm not worshiping my car. I'm not worshiping my home. I understand where it came from, and I understand that it's a blessing. But even as he blessed me, he's blessing me to be a blessing to others. So I get more joy out of being able to be a blessing to others. And being a blessing to others doesn't mean being used, giving all, whatever way. That's not what it's about. I bless as God leads me. And when God tells me to bless somebody, I bless them. Amen? Amen. I want to get into, I have four more things I want to get into about praise. We are getting towards the end of the show. I pray that the show has been a blessing to you, that it's really helping you to really be able to maybe just do a paradigm shift. Adjust the way you think. Adjust the way you see things. Adjust the way how you view things, that you will begin to see that the spirit of praise is where you want to be. And if you haven't never got into a spirit of praise, just pray to God, Lord, I just start saying thank you in your prayers. Don't ask for nothing. Don't pray asking for nothing. He knows everything we need. Just take one time and just go into a prayer and just begin to thank God. Now, just begin to thank him with your mouth, verbally. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Thank you. I'm grateful, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. And you just start saying that. And begin to clap your hands. And while you're thanking him, begin to clap your hands. and just begin to thank them. And if you can't thank anything, thank you for blessing me here. Thank you for blessing me over here. Thank you for showing me favor here. And if you can't think of things, just begin to say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And I tell you, as you begin to do that, you're going to notice that you're going to begin to notice your heart begins to open up. You're going to begin to notice there's something. There is a presence there. You're going to begin to experience this overwhelming amount of peace and humility and thankfulness. Even if you get emotional, it doesn't matter. That's okay, because it's opening you up to be able to receive from God. And just begin to praise him and thank him for all that he's done for you, for all that he's done for your family. You know, some of us are, like I said, really going through some things. Praise, I want to just mention there's four ways of praise. We could praise God in song. We could praise God in song. It says, and again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you people. That's Romans 15. It's telling us, Gentiles, we're Gentiles. Gentiles was everybody other than the Jews. Amen? And he's given us an opportunity to be adopted into the family. And so he's telling us to praise him. All people, praise him. It's singing. It's not just about music, you know, because it's vocal music. Vocal music is what's coming out of our mouth. You know, if you hear music playing and you just sitting there, it's not about just the music. It's about vocal music, you know, what's coming out of our mouth, what we're saying. We are expressing our praise to God. We are thinking about God and the things, all that he's done for us. We are honoring the Savior. We are edifying one another. Do you know when you're in a collective situation such as church on Sunday mornings or Wednesday evenings and you begin to praise God, that you're not only edifying yourself, you're edifying others. You're reminding yourselves of the promises of God. We praise him in song. Instruments can't honor God. Instruments can't think. They don't honor or edify. But it's the words that come out of our mouth, thanksgiving that come out of our mouth. So we praise God in song. Second, we praise God in prayer. When you pray and you have a prayer life, that's a way of praising God. That's a way of praising God. When we pray, you know, whether you're praying your prayer from the depths of your heart, or you're saying the Lord's prayer, we're praising him in that. Hallowed be thy name, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're praising him in prayer. We praise God in obedience. When we're obedient, I put that at the top of the list. My obedience is a form of praise. When God tells us to do something and we do it and we're operating in a lifestyle of obedience, that's a form of praise. When we follow Jesus' instructions and express our admiration towards him, adoration towards him. You know, for in obedience we fail to glorify him, for in disobedience. So when we're disobedient, we're not giving God the glory. When we're out of order in our lives, we're not giving God the glory. And his word tells us that we all have sinned and fallen short of his glory. We sin and fall short of his glory. And if any of us say we haven't, then we're a lie. But when we're in disobedience and we're living a disobedient lifestyle and we're doing things disobediently, we are not glorifying God. So praise God in obedience. So we're praising him in song, praising him in prayer, praising him in obedience. And number four, and I'm going to start closing out, we praise God through the influence of faithful lives. I'm going to say that one again. We praise God through the influence of faithful lives. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Ooh. When we're out there living crazy, when we're out there living wild, when we're out there living any old kind of way, and I'm not judging, Lord, no, it's a battle. I battle to make sure, a battle to try to be all that God has purpose for me to be. I battle to make sure that what I say and do is giving God the glory. I don't always, I miss the mark sometimes. I don't always get it right because sometimes I say stuff that's just not cool to say. Sometimes I say exactly what my thought goes in my mind, and I know what comes out of my mouth, generally when I'm going through, and I what comes out of my mouth tells me what I need. If I get to a point where I'm murmuring or complaining or fussing or dip with my mouth, then I know that I'm lacking praise. I haven't been in his presence, because when I'm in his presence, I can't do those other things because I'm so full of God that I can't be full of nothing else. What comes out of my mouth becomes loving and kind. And so when loving and kind is not coming out of my mouth, then that's normally a sure indicator for me that I haven't been in his presence. I need to get into the presence of God. Amen. So we want to make sure that our lives that we're living is faithful lives, that other people that see us, you know, you hear people say, and I hear people say a lot, non-believers, they're going to always have something. The naysayers are always going to have something to say. But you hear people say, ooh, did you just hear what she said? Did you just see what he did? Ooh, and they think I want to be a Christian. We're supposed to be an example to the world, and we haven't been doing a good job as Christians to be an example to the world. And no, will we be perfect? No. But we're supposed to be striving towards perfection. And we can't do that if we're not praising God, because that's saying his presence is not with us. His presence has to be with us, so we have to be praising God. We have to come into his presence. We have to be able to worship and be thankful and give thanksgiving to God. We have to have a prayer life. It's important to have a prayer life. We have to not allow the cares of this world to distract us and cause us to not be in his presence. So tonight, what I am saying to those who are listening in, whether you're listening in the studio live or you're listening in through the internet, or maybe you'll be listening to this broadcast days from now, find your praise. Get in a spirit of praise and learn how to begin to give God the glory. Whether it's 10 minutes a day, 5 minutes a day, start finding a place of praise. Find a place of a prayer life. Wake up in the morning and just take 10 minutes to just be thankful, to praise God and just thank him for waking you up. Thank him for being with you. Thank him for leading your day. When I'm diligent in that area of my life, I tell you, my day is smooth. My day is clear. My path is clear. The steps that God has ordered for my life, I can see clearly when I take the time to give God the first fruit in the morning. And that's when you wake up and just be able to say, thank you, Lord. Father God, we just thank you for the word that you have given us on tonight. Father, I pray that each and every person that's listening in on tonight, that you will give them a spirit of praise, a spirit of prayer, Father, a spirit of worship, so that they could understand and embrace your word. Father, we just thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness, Lord. We ask for your forgiveness of our sins and shortcomings, for we know we have sinned and fallen short of your glory. We praise you, for you are worthy of all the praise, and we just want to say thank you, Lord, for we don't have to be here, but yet you've allowed us to see another day. So, Father, we say thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. I want to thank you for tuning in on tonight. Excuse me, to this episode, The Process of the Pain. We hope you tune in next week on Tuesday to Cheek to Cheek, on Wednesday to Woman, and on Thursday again to Processing the Pain. Again, know that you are loved and appreciated, and we thank you.